The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, we talked briefly about the simplest of the insects, the subclass A. pterygota. And there are five orders of insects here. They are, many of them, quite small. The first name that we talked about, the Proturans, P-R-O-T-U-R-A, about 6/10 to 1.5 millimeters in length. Now, if you're not familiar with what a millimeter is, get yourself a straight edge sometime and look at it, and you'll see a millimeter is roughly a 1/16 of an inch. So they're really not big at all. Some of them would be about a half a millimeter. All of these organisms here dwell in the soil. There are some differences we'll talk about a little bit, but they are, to my mind, one of the primary functions for them is that they're food for other organisms. And there are some of them that help enhance the soil. They will feed on dead plant material or other things that we'll talk about, and leave behind then nutrients that can be useful to some of the other plants. There are sometimes a lot of them, sometimes not many. If you are not an entomologist, with one exception, two exceptions, I would be surprised if you have ever come into contact with any of these. And simply for this reason, we're not going to spend a great deal of time on them. The Proturans are minute, and that term means that they are somewhere in the neighborhood of a millimeter long. If you know what you're looking for, then it's possible for you to see them with your eye. You can't make out very much about them, but if you know, you can see them. They do not have eyes. They do not have any antennae. In this case, the front pair of legs have sensory functions. And apparently for that reason, you will see them when they move. Often they will simply hold these first pair of legs up in the air like antennae. And whatever senses of odor or whatever they have, the receptors for those things apparently are on the first pair of legs. And in passing, let me note that sensory apparatus has some difficulty in detecting any of the senses through the hardened chitinous exoskeleton. I'm going to stop here and talk about this, but it's interesting. Here the exoskeletal covering is thick and stable, and getting nerve impulses through it gets a little interesting. They are able to do that. The second of the orders are what are known as springtails, and particularly for those of you that live in the tropics, you may have seen these on occasion. They get their name because of a structure that they use to move with. If you were to examine them, preferably with a microscope, they are a little bit bigger than the Proturans, but not much. There is a little forked structure underneath their abdomen known as the furcula, and they, by using this structure, they are able to spring or jump. And it's just interesting to me. Some of them have eyes, some don't. But to have that kind of a structure, which is their primary means of movement in an organism of this sort, I just find very interesting. Let me read you the comment in the entomology book about it. Springtails are minute insects that get their name from the fact that most of them have a fork structure or furcula with which they jump. The furcula arises on the ventral belly side, underneath side of the fourth abdominal segment, and when at rest is folded forward under the abdomen, where it is held in place by a clasp-like structure on the third abdominal segment called the tenaculum. The insect jumps by extending the furcula downward and backward. A springtail, 5 or 6 millimeters in length, may be able to jump 75 to 100 millimeters. So these little minute creatures can jump 15 to 20 times their body length. You try that as a human being. world record for long jump now, seems to me, just under 30 feet, five or six times body length. These things can jump 15 to 20 times their body length. They have a little tube-like structure, which is known as a colophore. Now, if you know anything about etymology, that name would suggest it has something to do with glue. And there was a time when people thought that these were the structures by which these organisms stuck themselves on things. Later research has indicated, presumably, that the structures are more involved with regulating water intake. So apparently there's nothing gluey about them, which is what the name would suggest. My major experience with these, years ago when we first built the science building, I came over, had occasion to come over to the building to my office one night, and while I was there, it began raining, and heavy rain, hard rain. And I went down and started to go out the back door, and the entrance there, the floors are concrete, and I noticed that there was, at bottom of the step, there's about an inch of water there, and it looked to me like it was covered with gray paint. What I discovered is that there were millions and millions of Columbella, the springtails. Apparently they had just mulched the flower beds behind the science building, and the water had gotten up high enough so that it had run under the door, and here were the springtails out of that mulch that were floating around in the surface of the water. I really have never seen a larger number of insects in one place at one time. They are soil inhabiting and feed on decaying plant material, etc. The third of the orders are known as diplurans. I really don't know. I have seen them. They look sort of like little insect grubs. They do have antennae. They have two caudal filaments or appendages that stick out of the last abdominal segment. Three pairs of legs. Chewing mouth parts. Again, nothing particularly outstanding about them. The fourth order are the Thysanura, or bristle tails. Now, this is the exception that some of you, most of you probably, have had occasion to have some experience with. There are two organisms, the best known members of the Lepismatidae, which is one of three families that are found in the order, is the silverfish, Lepisma saccharina. Remember the species name. We'll talk about it in a moment. And the firebrat, Thermobia domestica. Saccharina, of course, just means sweet. And these, of course, are the silverfish. And they are found pretty much any place that happens to stay moist and dark. And as that species name suggests, they have a habit of feeding on starchy materials. Around libraries, they will feed on starch that would be in book covers or book bindings, on labels. We have a few of them sometimes in the science building. Very flat, very soft-bodied. If they are in the house, they will feed on starched clothing. I don't think most people use starch in their clothing anymore, so that's not an attraction for them. Curtains, linen, silk, starch paste in wallpaper, which again is not as common as it once was. And of course in stores they'll feed on most anything, paper or glue in it. They less than half an inch long. They're not huge things, but they certainly are large enough to be seen. And some of the, with the appendages, some of the silverfish are really a little longer than that. Immensely soft-bodied. The firebrat, Thermobia, means literally fire life, that they live around heat. You will find these things in basements, around furnaces or boilers or steam pipes, you would be surprised at how rapidly they can run. You would think things that small just would not have that capability, but they do. You may find them outside sometimes in caves or in trash piles, debris of some kind, under stones, and interestingly enough, occasionally even in ant nests, which I certainly would not predict that you'd have one insect, these, that are found in another insect's home, but they are there occasionally. The last of these are what are known as the jumping bristletails. They are more cylindrical than flat, as the bristletails are. Fairly large compound eyes, and they always have ocelli. Ocelli are simply little collections of individual visual units. Grassy or wooded areas. You find them under leaves, bark, dead wood, stones. One interesting habit, I guess you'd call it, of these things, before they molt, they will cement themselves to whatever it is they're on, the substrate. And apparently, the material that they use for the cementing process is fecal material. So they will glue themselves to something with this material. And the interesting thing about that, if somehow it fails, if it dissolves or whatever, and becomes disattached to the substrate, sand or whatever it is, if it doesn't remain firm, then they are unable to molt and die. These particular insects have their bodies covered with scales, which is a little bit unusual. The only others that I'm aware of, you're familiar with, would be the butterflies, Lepidopteran, which literally means scale-winged, and these organisms have scales as well. So here are five orders of insects, not known with the two exceptions we've mentioned, functional, purposeful in that they serve to help soil, serve as food for other things, and people say, why in the world did God make these? Well, you'll have to take that up with him sometime. I really don't know the answer to that. But they are functional, complicated, purposeful organisms that Scripture simply indicates to us were part of God's creation.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson @bju.edu, or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.